You're listening to the Sens Trip Podcast, a weekly or occasional look at all things Ottawa Senators, including news, opinions, wacky rumors, drunken rants, bad jokes, overly optimistic outlooks on clearly precarious things, and more. I am your anonymous host, Sens Trip.
Lot to be excited about with Sanderson. This is a great young defenseman in the league. Jake Sanderson does all the work. He gets to that loose puck, keeps it in, and that shot deflects off a stick. You can see Thompson's moving one way. He tries to get back, and it finds its way past Thompson. I think it caught Alec Martinez's stick. And Jake Sanderson with his first NHL goal for the 20-year-old here to tie the game up.
How quickly did Brady Tkachuk go fish the puck out of the net to get it to him?
And right after. That's one of those things that can, you know, lifts a team up. Excited for your teammate to get their first goal.
So the Sens Trip Podcast made its glorious return last week, and the reviews have been pouring in. I don't have time to get to all the fan mail I've received over the last week, but I will take some time to read a few of them. Gary says, "The music ruins it. Please change it immediately." How about you mind your own business, Gary? Nancy writes in with, "What is that terrible sound?" Maybe it's your bad attitude, Nancy. Cliff offers up the following observation. "The Hypno Beat electronic noise is so horrible." Yeah, well, that's your opinion, Cliff. I just want to thank all of you for your feedback and assure you that it's going to be considered, carefully reviewed, and then completely ignored. The music stays, the bad editing stays, the elf-like voice stays too. I had planned to take another 19 months off after last week's episode, but Pierre Dorion had some other ideas. The new season now just days away, the Ottawa Senators made a big old splash signing Jake Sanderson to an 800-year, $8 trillion contract, at least according to jealous Leaf fans clamoring to criticize the deal on the internet. Really? It's an 8-year deal that kicks in next season, by the way, and that will see Sanderson earn just a shade over $8 million a season, $64.4 million. It's big money, but it's a roll of the dice that makes perfect sense. If you made it past the intro music last week, you'll know how the source and I feel about Sanderson, and I think you'll hear some of that again this week. Freakishly good for a rookie, Ottawa's best defenseman by the end of the year, and a guy that will challenge for Norris trophies over the course of the next 9 seasons. And I assure you, that is the tempered version of my expectations. All you have to do is watch the kid play. That's why fans of other teams look at the deal and think it's a bit rich. The numbers don't exactly jump off the page in year one. But if you spend any time watching him, his effortless skating, his elite stick, his high-end hockey IQ, and his near-flawless defending, you know this is one of those deals that will be a bargain down the line. It's another tidy piece of business by the Senators, locking up a key piece of their present and their future. This week, you'll hear the source and I talk about our 5 most important elements, 5 most important players, and 5 biggest fears for some reason. Highly suggest skipping that one. It's quite unpleasant. And we'll close it with another round of Call 'Em Up, which is hilarious to me and confusing to everyone else. It's episode 23 of the Sens Trip Podcast. Do you think they know that was a gin and soda instead of a beer you just opened? Supplies are limited here in the studio. It's been a while. We were not completely prepared. And honestly, I don't want to slug all the Sens Trip beer. Like, there's 4 left now. And my plan is to do a podcast more than once every year and a half. So we got to ration them, right?
We have to save one for the next.
So that was a gin and soda you just heard open there in the third segment. So in the last segment, we kind of got a little bit lost in Jake Sanderson hype and maybe lost a bit of the structure of the segment that I had planned, which is probably for the best because what the fuck? Planning segments and structure is not what people signed up for in the SensTerp podcast. And honestly, nobody did sign up for the SensTerp podcast. So it's mostly just us rambling here in the basement. But like training camp is in 2 weeks, basically, if you can believe it. So what I wanted to do in this segment is that stupid top five idea. And I think mostly it's going to make us miserable. We're going to fight about the way we rank things. But I think that's sort of the point. So what I want to do, this works for you. Source? What the hell is your name?
Yeah, whatever.
The source. We're going to start with the top five. And I think I would like to start with the top five most important factors as opposed to most important players. So we'll start with the most important team elements. And I understand nobody knows what that means, but I think as I work my way through the list 5 to 1, it'll become pretty clear. It's various elements of the team. So things like special teams. I'm going to go 5 to 1 for dramatic effect. That's how
5 to 1
show business, baby. You got to keep them waiting. So number five, which is kind of, it's a bit of a layup because last year it was pretty good and it just needs to be good again, is the penalty kill. So last year this was kind of a part of the team that was kind of sneaky good and it wasn't always clear what it was that was making them good.
I'll tell you what it was. Tim Stützle.
It's true.
As soon as they put him on the penalty kill.
So putting a legitimately talented hockey player on the penalty kill is the difference?
Yep, that's literally it.
So it's not...
Okay, next.
Next. Number five is the penalty kill. So it was good last year. It needs to continue to be... So number five is the penalty kill, which, I mean, kind of speaks for itself. They were sneaky good there last year. It would be nice if...
they kept it up.
So number four is very similar. This list thing might be a stupid idea. It's the power play.
Yeah.
The power play was ridiculously good last year, and it kind of needs to be again. And I think this is one of the spots where you lose Alex DeBrincat.
You gain Josh Norris.
Right. So you lose firing it 2 feet over the net or hitting the post endlessly, and you gain shooting it in the net. Okay. Yeah, I feel pretty good about the power play.
Yeah. And you get Vladimir Tarasenko, who's one of the greatest power play forwards of all time.
And you know, I mean, that might have been a bit.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch. But
that's what people sign up for here.
I'm stretching everything.
But also, Dominik Kubalík is a sneaky good power play forward, too. Like, he's kind of... he's not Josh Norris, obviously, but he's like one-timer is
good. I have heard that from Detroit fans saying that... yeah. He's got an incredible one-timer.
Yeah. So there's reason to believe the power play can be good again. Obviously, it's like Tim Stützle will still be Tim Stützle. Yeah. Brady Tkachuk will still live in front of the net. That's why I put it kind of 5-4, because that really was the strength of the team last year was
power play.
Specialty. Yeah. Like special teams generally. Like penalty kill was way better than you would have expected, and power play was good too. So those two things again, and at number three, you're gonna hate it.
Goaltending. I know you're gonna.
You might actually hate the next three because I think you have like personal grievances against each of them as defining factors. But number three is coaching. I put coaching at number three because I think
think he's gonna coach differently.
I want him to coach better. I think
what more is he going to do?
It's structure.
in the defensive end. And don't ask me to define it I just want them to be better
the
in their own end of the ring.
They're just going to, they're not, they do not care about the guy that's behind the
bench. No, but I think they need to be better in their own end.
You think yeah. you think he's got more different structures that are coming out there?
I didn't say who. I said they need to be better in their own end.
Yeah, they do.
So someone needs to
guess who's going to be better in their own end next year is Jake Sanderson and Jacob Chychrun and Thomas Chabot.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the coaching.
All right.
There you go.
Okay. So you wouldn't put that as number three, but I think structure in their own end has to be better.
Okay.
Number two. And actually, this should have been number one. I'm looking at my stupid list here, and this... health.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole operation, like the whole conversation about how good Ottawa's going to be comes down to like...
This was going to be my...
it's your fear. I know it. Don't even say it, because there's a fear list coming up. Don't get too specific.
Okay, I'm not going to get specific, but yeah.
Just being healthy. I think... That's where things went squirrely on them last year, and maybe people don't give DJ Smith enough slack for that, or the team generally, but when Norris and Zub got hurt, they just fell apart, they just had nothing.
But here's what I'll say about that. All the players in the AHL right now are getting to that age where they can come up and replace some of those guys.
Oh, depth you're talking
there's
about.
A little bit depth. More there's a little more depth than there used to be out of some of those types of players.
Yeah,
like if someone gets hurt, someone like Järventi might be able to come up and play left wing.
I guess I don't know. Like it depends on health.
Health is huge.
They have a lineup that can sustain injuries to depth players, but if one of the big guys gets hurt...
Yeah, we're screwed.
Yeah.
But we were screwed last year. Norris was out all year.
Yeah, so that's why it's fucking number two on the list.
I get it. Do not do that again. I agree. It was
have, good. Like, our top three centers for okay, more well, than two
well, what
games.
The hell is number one?
That's me circling it. Goaltending.
Ugh.
It's all going to come down to goaltending. And I'm not sure how that's ahead of health, honestly.
It's a guy standing in the middle of the net.
Oh, boy. Here we go. This guy has no respect for the goaltending position generally. For good reason. Because they're all the same. They don't need a good goalie. They need good goaltending. I've said that before on the podcast. It's like you don't need to
sign
a guy for 5 years.
You definitely don't need to sign a goalie for that long, because you know who might be better than Korpisalo is Forsberg, who is one of the, like, when he's on, he's an incredible goalie. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's the idea. That's why I didn't say Jonas Korpisalo. Like, goaltending generally, they need better goaltending. They need consistent goaltending.
They need
and
a goalie.
Every single team needs that. It's not unique to Ottawa, right? It's like you need your goalies to
be a goalie.
To be capable. Yeah. So I think that one like kind of speaks for itself. And when you're doing a top five, it's like, yeah, you could have elite players at the top end of the lineup. You can have good special teams like Ottawa had last year. But if your goaltending doesn't hold up,
well, when you're down to your fifth string goalie in the net at the end of the year, that's a problem.
I started a game for Ottawa in March and nobody even noticed. It was like that's how bad it was. They just like the run of injuries on their goalies.
The fact of the matter is, though, they still won games with those shitty goalies in the net.
They pushed. They were not far off. It was like when we all chanted, "We want playoffs," we fucking ruined
they were
it
close.
For them.
Yeah, we definitely screwed them over.
They lost six in a row after that, I think, because of us specifically. So that's top five most important factors. And then I think what we'll do next, and we'll fire this one off a bit quicker, we'll do this in the same segment, top five most important players. And it kind of relates to the last list. But like these are the players that will ultimately determine whether this is a good season.
Make or break.
Number five, I have Thomas Chabot. So Thomas Chabot's coming off a bit of a letdown year.
Tough year.
Just was not himself for whatever reason. I think he was dealing with like various injuries throughout the year that he was playing through. And the coaching staff kind of alluded to that at a couple times, saying like people don't realize how much he's battling through things, but they need him to be better. And I think that kind of – that's – They're actually in a unique spot, and I don't want to spoil the rest of the list here, where he doesn't have to play 30 minutes a night anymore.
No.
Like, they can take the foot off the gas a bit with Chabot.
But he's better when he plays more. That's a fact.
I actually think people will say the opposite. Like, I think when they started to dial him back to 24 minutes a night, he was playing better.
I think when he was playing 35 a night, he was on his best.
Yeah, I think, there's lots of different, like, if it's injuries, if that's what it was, if it's, like, managing his ice time differently.
If he learns how to just play hockey, that'd be
good. The rule in this, in talking about this list, is you can't say the name of another player.
No, definitely.
Because then you'll spoil the rest of the list. So I know what you want, I know who you want to talk about in the context of Chabot's, but we won't do it.
Go ahead.
We're just going to burn right through it. Number four, I have Brady Tkachuk. So I think he's coming off a massive year. I think he's one of those players where you don't really worry about how he's going to produce the year after, right? Like, I think he's just going to be the same player for the rest of his career. Right?
He's going to score 90 points this year.
Yeah.
He's going to 40 goals. Have 145 penalty minutes. He's just going to be a stud.
He's going to be Brady Tkachuk, but he is like, he's critically important to what they're doing. He's going to drive a lot of it ultimately. Number three, I'm actually looking at. I have Tim Stützle.
I don't think you like your list.
I have Tim Stützle at number three. He is their most important player, so I'm not really sure what
I think
the,
he should be your number
list
one.
Yeah, but I think like he's going to have 100 points. He's going to be their number one center. He's going to be the same player, but better than he was last year. But he drives it, right? Like
he's the star. If he does not get 100 points, we've had a bad year. Probably. Yeah.
He pretty quickly went from like intriguing prospect to promising young rookie to franchise, right? Like it happened so quickly, and he was so good at the end of last year. And then he's a 90-point player, and now it's completely reasonable to think he could put up 100 points.
If he doesn't get 100 points this year, I would be shocked.
So that's why he's number three on this stupid list that I've written down here. Number two, you're going to hate it.
Korpisalo.
It's Korpisalo. It's Jonas? Korpisalo. I think he...
What's he going to do?
Especially because you said Forsberg as a good secondary option. But I think like he's going to play 50 games and he has to play them not terribly. Like we just need a good goalie.
Just be a good goalie.
Like 9.15 save percentage.
That's asking a lot.
Not get yanked regularly. Like just,
he's not Craig Anderson.
He is not. He's not.
No, literally just stand in front of the net and block
be
the
a
puck.
Goalie. Source has a real cynical outlook.
God, I hate goalies.
But you want good goaltending.
I would like a mediocre goaltender. Yeah, that'd be.
Ah! Woo! Let's hope that was the hardest part of this podcast, was opening this Georgian Bay gin soda.
Ugh.
We are getting to the bottom of the barrel here, folks. This is segment... I'm not going to tell you what segment number it is, because then I can use this
in
any episode I want. But we're going to kind of build on what we talked about in the last two segments and that stupid idea of the top five list. And this time we're going to get ugly. We're going to get into the ditches and into the worst possible things that could happen. Because that's what people come to the Sens Chair podcast for, is
doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom and the depths of despair. We're going to do a top five list of our biggest fears heading into a new season. And like the other lists, you're expecting me to just say mine, and then you'll tell me why they're wrong. But we're not going to do it that way.
Oh, am I going to do it?
You're going to tell me something. You're going to say something into the microphone that you're scared of, preferably something you're fifth most scared of, because you got to do it in order. Otherwise, kills the suspense.
Okay, so, well, I wasn't prepared for this. But
number five, I know the loss of Buddy Wilson.
I know what number one is. Well, actually, no, it may not be number one, but it will hurt. But number five.
Da, 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 da.
Can I say like a slow start?
Another slow start is a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a 500 start would be slow.
That's a good point. Is what does a slow start look like? Because they have had some stinkers.
They have to be in a place early. Otherwise, what the fuck are we doing?
Like a playoff, above 500 in a playoff spot.
They have to be up. They have to beat Philly. They have to beat everyone in the first week. They have to be up.
And if they do start slow, it's time, right? Then
it's over. It's over for everyone on that squad. Bye.
Bye, DJ. Okay. Just so we're all on the same page. Another slow start. Whoa, boy. Yeah. I did not have that on my list, but boy, now I'm scared of it. Because the hype is going to be through the roof, right? Like, is the hype higher this year than it was last year? There was something
last year was so hype because we were all excited about like all the trades. This year, everyone's managed their expectations. But as a Sens fan, I am still expecting playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs this year, it will be devastating. 100%.
It's an interesting way you worded that this year we're managing our expectations, but last year everyone was
hype
and excited. But like, I expect more from this year's team than I did last year's team, right?
But I'm not going to say it.
No. Okay, so it's more of a quiet.
It's a quiet build this quiet year. Expectation.
Yeah, I get that.
Jesus Christ, that was five.
I am too scared. I don't want to.
I don't have five.
No, so I don't have slow start on mine. So I'll go to number five, and I was a little more specific, I guess. But I something that scares me a little bit is the idea of Claude Giroux.
That was my number one.
Not getting hurt.
No,
just regressing. Just being more.
Okay, regressing. But my number one was Claude Giroux getting hurt. Because last year was his only full season in the NHL. And he somehow did what he got with Senators and scored more points than he's ever scored.
Played a full season, scored at a higher
so
rate.
So next year, he's going to go through the full season?
No.
I doubt it.
Sorry. Just to be clear, the fear exercise is not about talking ourselves into the fear and then saying that's what's
going to
happen.
No, we got lucky last year. It's just...
Yeah, Claude Giroux taking a step back would hurt. Like, a lot of the excitement about the top six and how good they are,
it's
because we think he's going to be that good again.
Yeah, and he is
old.
Okay, he's still incredibly good, but there's a very good chance he's going to get hurt. He usually gets hurt. He's never been healthy for a whole season until he played Toronto.
There is no way we're... He had 79 points last year.
Yep. 35 goals.
and just like immediately became the heart and soul of the team.
He played every single game.
The so guy, if Claude Giroux has 60 points next year, scores 28 goals, can we still be good?
That's a win.
Yeah. So he it's played, like the this, idea of him regressing has different levels. And like, if he get, I don't even say it. Why? Like he gets
that was
hurt.
My biggest fear is that Claude.
Anyway, moving on. Number three.
Now that
fucking
is,
deathly fears.
That warrants a conversation. Because we have...
We just don't want it to happen. Right?
Also,
like, that's how the fears
another,
work.
We also have another guy on our team that gets hurt a lot. Vladimir Tarasenko.
Not as scared of that one.
He's going to score.
Manageable.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Number three. Deathly fears is... This one's based on last year because it got a little out of hand. And it's the idea of it happening. Goalies getting hurt again. Because, Jesus, like, the wheels fell off so fast. And then we had AHL goalies playing every game.
They managed.
For the last 30 games. You just don't respect goalies at all. But losing both of the goalies and getting into Kevin Mandelisi and Matt Sogard wouldn't be the worst third option. But goalies getting hurt is a fear of mine.
It's not one of mine.
Okay, good. Good. That's how these fears work. We're talking each other through it. We don't want... By the end, we'll have no fears. Number two?
I can't believe you said...
No, we skipped one of mine. We skipped one that I'm... Am I even scared of this? Or it's just the idea of it. So when you start jotting down your fears, you start to invent things, right? Like things that make no sense. But that's what right. I wrote... On number four is the Sanderson hype.
There's no fear.
Is out of whack with the idea of a player in his second year, sophomore slump, all that stuff that happens to a player in a second year.
I've seen him play. I have no fears whatsoever. Right. You can delete that one. The guy's the best defenseman I've...
Hang on. Listen.
Scratching it out. Yeah, thank you.
Sanderson hype is not a fear.
No.
All the goalies dying.
Not a fear.
Nope. Not reasonable. Giroux regressing.
No, there's no regressing. Giroux's going to get his 85 points, but he might get hurt.
85 points? Jesus.
Yes.
That's a better year. He's going to have a better year.
Guess who's going to be on his wing? Vladimir.
Vladdy. So number two, I had another... Bad year from Shabbat.
Guess what? He's our third defenseman now.
So not as big of a deal as it once was?
No. He was our number one. He's now our number three. Right?
Yeah. I think my fear with him is more...
Less minutes, worse hockey.
Yeah, but then also from a contract standpoint. It's like, if he's bad again...
Trade him.
Then now you don't trade bad players. People don't trade for bad hockey players. Doesn't work that way. It's like if he is bad again and then he has one, two,
he's going to be fine.
Four more years at $8 million a year. Then that becomes a bad from a team standpoint. It's like now we have
it's an issue.
Cap
but
problem.
Guess what? It's not an issue this year. It would be an issue next year.
Yeah. But also, yeah, you're right. Like
we have Sanderson playing one more year at 850 or whatever the hell it is for his. It's fine.
We could do every segment wants to just like it just gets pulled back into talking Sanderson. About how sweet Jake Sanderson is. Yeah, but if Shabbat's bad again this year, it's a problem. Like from a cap standpoint,
he's
from a
not
team
be
standpoint,
bad, though he's going
to
be.
He needs to be better.
He needs to be better. He had a terrible.
My number one biggest fear, which
Thomas
will be
Shabbat.
Deleted from the record, and nobody will ever hear it, is a Tim Stützle injury.
Why?
Turn it off.
I
don't even. It's what we're all scared of. Because then it's not fun anymore.
I don't want to watch
the team.
I wouldn't even watch without him.
No. Just because he's... All right, so our number one biggest fear is none of your damn business. Don't have one. No fears. Going to be a great season.
Go Sens. Go
the Sens. Next segment, we're going to call Steve Zorgel. We're going to call him in for a quick interview. Zorgel's been a long-time season ticket holder. He's an elusive one, but a long-time season ticket holder and a big fan of Zach MacEwen. So we're going to get his take on the Zach MacEwen signing. In the next segment, we're going to call Steve Zorgel. Talk to you soon, Zorgel. And
what's up?
You're on the podcast.
You're on the Sens Chirp podcast. Zorgel, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good. You're on episode. The Censor podcast is back, and we knew we had to call Steve Zorgel on our return episode. Zorgel, how you doing, buddy?
Jeez, slow day at the office, eh?
We were hyping you up on the last segment. We're like, a long-time season ticket holder and the only listener of the Censor podcast.
I said, I was like, Zorgel will definitely pick up. He's the only friend that will pick up for sure.
Zorgel, in the last segment, we did our five biggest fears heading into the season.
Okay.
What's your biggest fear heading into a new year? What are you worried about from the Sens perspective?
November.
Oh, my God. I wish we recorded that.
We did. We did.
November.
Yeah, we did talk about
pretty that. Pretty much, in a nutshell.
Like a slow start again would be death. All right, November. Good answer, Zorgel. Zorgel, you got season tickets again this year?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you
back
sitting?
Back up in the nosebleeds.
What section are you in?
Coke Zone 314.
Oh, baby. What do those go for these days?
Hey.
How much are those?
Ron, we got two seats. So it's about $1,000 for half season.
We'll see you at the home opener then, Zorgel.
Yep, we got it.
Saturday it's an afternoon game. What's your plan for that one? How do you a home opener at 1 o'clock? How do we do that?
Holy. Yeah.
Where do we pregame? Where do you tailgate for a 1 o'clock start? Right in that wind tunnel in the middle of the parking lot is the answer.
Exactly.
It's the only place to go.
Well, hopefully the 35-degree weather keeps up. We can have a little barbecue and have some beers.
Zorgel, do you actually listen to the Sens Trip podcast? Can you confirm you are our one listener?
Yeah. It's been Bruce Garriock a lot lately, but...
He's here too. He's sitting on the other side.
Oh, I knew. Yeah, he's part of the crew now.
It's his podcast, actually. He just tells me when we're doing an episode. Zorgel, you've been one of our most loyal listeners, so we had to call you in for our first random interview. This is what we're going to do, start fucking cold calling people. We appreciate you picking up. We'll see you in, the Coca-Cola fan zone next year.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon, Zorgel.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love you too, guys.